Today is the third Sunday after Epiphany. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And we will not have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening. And tomorrow there will be, after the 8:30 Mass, we will have cleaning of the chapel and the hall. The feast this week, there are many saints, we'll just mention them. And we're not going to speak about any of those in particular, but we will hope that if you're able to come to Mass on any of these days to honor these saints. Today is the feast of St. Agnes, the great virgin martyr of the early church. Monday, the 22nd, Saints Vincent and Anastasius. Tuesday, St. Raymond of Penyafort. Wednesday, the 24th, is the feast of St. Timothy, the companion of St. Paul. Thursday, very important feast, the conversion of St. Paul. Friday, the disciple of St. John the Apostle, the Greek bishop and martyr, St. Polycarp. And then finally on Saturday, St. John Chrysostom, great doctor of the church, one of the Eastern fathers of the church. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits. To no man render evil for evil, but provide good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as far as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." But if thy enemy is hungry, give him food. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, thou wilt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. At that time, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came up and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And stretching forth his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, "I will, be thou made clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See thou tell no one, but go show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for witness to them." Now when he had entered Capernaum, there came to him a centurion who entreated him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying sick in the house, paralyzed, and is grievously afflicted." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and cure him." But in answer the centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, and have soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following him, "Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. And I tell you that many will come from the east and from the west, and will feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be put forth into the darkness outside. There will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee." And the servant was healed in that hour. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this third Sunday after Epiphany, which is this year the last Sunday before we begin the season of Septuagesima, we have the continuation of what the season of Epiphany and these Sundays after Epiphany continue to remind us. The Holy Mother, the Church, wants us to meditate at this Mass, and that is our undying faith in the divinity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. Remember, just a month ago, it was the Feast of the Nativity when we saw liturgically before us the event when the Son of God was born into our world as an infant. And then a few weeks later, the Feast of the Epiphany, when the three wise men and all their servants literally just show up at the house of the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph with the infant. A surprise visit. Because as representing the Gentiles, they had been given a grace to travel a great distance and to go through a huge amount of trouble to show their faith and belief in the Son of God. Of course, they didn't know what they were going to come upon, but here they see this humble abode, and they see the infant in the hands and the arms of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And they knew instantly that this was the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, because they followed the grace of the moment. They had been doing that for months, because they were following the star, the miraculous sign from heaven that told them where to go, how to get to heaven, how to find the Son of God. So these Sundays continue the theme of Christmas and of Epiphany. Saint Paul, in his epistle to the Romans, he has very direct words. As you know, Saint Paul was no wimp in terms of speaking against his enemies and those who were attacking Christ, attacking the church, and attacking him. And of course, he knew what a meant to attack, because he was one doing it before he converted. He not only verbally, but he attacked the church. But he, with his soldiers, would round up Christians and put them to death. In fact, he was responsible for the death of the first martyr, Saint Stephen. But as the feast is celebrated this week, there was a huge conversion. It changed literally the course of history. But this evil but very intelligent man was humbled when our Lord appeared to him when he was riding his horse to Damascus. And he was told that he will be a vessel of election. So St. Paul is telling people, do not be wise in your own conceits. Don't render evil for evil. Don't commit the sin of revenge. Don't have resentment towards those who treat you with ill will. Because basically everybody does that. They don't like how their spouse or their children or their superior or their fellow employees are talking to them, and so they lash out. Instead of trying to calm the waters, we stir them up and make it worse. He says, if it be possible, as far as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Of course, he's implying that there are times when it is not possible that we have to stand up to those who are evil or hurting us or attacking us or attacking Holy Mother of the Church or blaspheming God or the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we have to come out with fury against those people as we do from this pulpit. Our Lord, many years before St. Paul wrote those words, had both approaches, as you know. Sometimes he was very compassionate, as we will explain in this gospel. Other times, he was filled with fury and anger because of those who would dishonor the house of God. That's how we felt, priests and seminarians, when we went to Rome, trips in Rome about 20, 25 years ago, and we see people walking their dogs in St. Peter's Basilica. Or we see filthy altars and altar cloths in churches around Rome. And we feel we've got to do something about this. Well, maybe we'll get our chance in the future. St. Peter's is owned by the Vatican, but most of the churches of Rome are owned by and taken care of by the Italian government. And they have a history of mismanagement in the way they run the government. They're fantastic artists and musicians and scientists, and they and so many talents, but one thing they are very bad at is governing, especially in the recent centuries. They did not pick that up from the Romans of 2,000 years ago. But this beautiful gospel has two miracles that our Lord performed for people. And Holy Mother of the Church, in explaining these and putting this gospel for this Mass, is saying the first miracle was representing our Lord's mission to save the Jews, his own people, the chosen people. So this man, this person was a leper. He had terrible skin disease. It's mostly eliminated into today's society, but back then it was very common. And they were put in disgusting places and they had to live segregated, the lepers. Now our Lord, because of his works, his words, his miracles, he had an unbelievable reputation. So this leper knew that our Lord might be able to save him, to cure him. So what does he do? He approaches him. Now that already was violating the Mosaic law because they were not allowed to associate with anyone, especially the priests, the high priests, and especially our Lord, because by that time many people believed that he was the Son of God. But this leper, just because of his faith, ran up and immediately did the first thing that we are to do when we come into the chapel. We perform an act of worship. We take holy water and we bless ourselves, and then we genuflect before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, an act of worship. Do you know what that means when you genuflect, by the way, just as inside? Very few people can do that and mean it. We had a visitor yesterday that came to the chapel, to our front door during our dinner, and wanted to just speak to a priest. So we did that. He did some advice. And then we said, well, maybe you'd like to see the chapel. And so I brought him to the back door there and genuflected. And we never force a visitor to genuflect whether they're Catholic or not, because that's up to them. But for the first time ever, since we've had this chapel, this person said, should I genuflect? Should I do that? I said, yes, if you'd like to. And he genuflected perfectly. That was a grace, to worship God that way. Total stranger. But here, this leper, back to our story. He worships God and he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He doesn't say, would you make me clean? I beg you, cleanse me of this illness. He says, if you will, if it is your will to do this, would you do this for me? Would you take away my disfigured skin and body? Isn't that the way our prayers are supposed to be? If you will, Lord, grant me this request. Because how can we imagine that what we think and what we desire in our will is better, or that we know better than God? That's impossible. We can desire one or 1,000 things, and it could be totally the wrong thing. In fact, often it is, because we make so many mistakes. We get into trouble because we want to follow our own will. So at that simple request of the leper, our Lord just stretches forth his hand and touches him, and he says, I will, be thou made clean. And the man was instantly cured. Because of our Lord's mercy, his desire to respond to the man's faith, the belief that our Lord could do it. But the poor individual maybe is a great saint because of his faith, that he did not want his own will, but God's will. Now, shortly afterwards, there's another miracle about to happen. And this one was for the Gentiles, because it happened to a servant, a Gentile, this centurion. Now, most of you have heard the story of how this all occurred, but it's worth telling you again. He was one of the men of the Roman military, centurions. They had 100 men under their authority. That's why they were called centurions. And they had a lot of authority. If there was a soldier on the watch during the night, if he fell asleep, the centurion would tell him to be executed immediately. No trial, nothing like that, because back then, if you abandoned your post or fell asleep, you jeopardized the whole group of men and soldiers. So he had great authority. But unlike today or recent centuries, servants or slaves, because they were actually slaves, were often treated differently. Now the Romans, as especially in the military, had really been fed up with the polytheism that was promoted culturally by the Greeks and Romans. They believed in one God because that actually is the reasonable way that any person believes in God, that there's one God. It's only, the only logical way. And so, conveniently and providentially, since the Romans were occupying Palestine, Judea, that whole area, the only religion that was monotheistic, that believed in one God, was that of the Jews. So there are many Romans who believed in the Hebrew religion. And some of them even converted, became devout Jews. Well, this Roman soldier did not convert, but he probably believed in the one true God, and so much so that he built the synagogue for the Jews in his area there, at Capernaum, because they had money, these centurions. Well, his servant, who he loved very much, and was almost like family, was very sick and paralyzed, about to die. The centurion had heard of the reputation of our Lord, so he wanted to see if a cure could be acquired from our Lord. But because he knew the Mosaic law, he knew that Jews weren't allowed, especially those of stature in society and holiness, it wouldn't be proper to go up to him directly. And he was a humble man also. So he sent a servant with the request to ask our Lord if he would heal this servant of the centurion. And as we know in the account, our Lord granted the cure because of the faith of this Roman soldier, the centurion. Why did he do it? He could have said, I have come for the house of Israel. You tell the centurion to come to me and ask me directly. No, our Lord didn't do that. He realized, of course, being God, he knew that what was in the heart of this soldier, the centurion. And he knew his faith was very great, because the centurion said he didn't want our Lord to come to the house because he felt he wasn't worthy. Those beautiful words, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. Those words were immortalized by the church, who said millions of times since they were first uttered by Holy Mother the Church, because the church, the priest says them three times before he receives communion, and then before all of you receive Holy Communion, when this priest holds the host and says those words in Latin, demonstrate your faith in the Son of God before you, in the Holy Eucharist. Because he knew, the soldier knew, that our Lord, being God, could cure at a distance. He didn't have to actually come to his house. And our Lord said, as you just heard a few moments ago, our Lord opens the sentence with, Amen, I say to you. As you know, those are very formal words. And God says, Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. He just said that the soldier's faith was greater than any other person's faith. And then he gives us a warning. He says, And I tell you that many will come from the east and from the west and will feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. It means from all over the world, there will be those who will be saved and get to heaven. But the children of the kingdom, that means the Hebrews, our Lord's people, will be put forth into the darkness outside. And there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, because they will be cut off from heaven for their unbelief, for turning their backs on the Son of God. And that's literally what they did. They conspired because of their jealousy to put him to death. And then they met with the Roman soldiers and Pontius Pilate and intimidated him, Pilate, to do their will. And then they witnessed him being scourged and mistreated and spit upon, and then beaten as he carries his cross up to Calvary. And they watched him being nailed to the cross and hanging on the cross, dying for 3 hours. That's what the Jews are responsible for. But how many of our Lord's own people, the Hebrews, were converted at that moment? Some actually had a sincere heart and turned their lives around. And even to this day, there are Jews that convert to the true faith. And as we've said before, at the end of time, it is said that some of the greatest saints of all history will be Jews who convert before the last coming. Yes, they are a cursed people, but they also have the best heritage. Our Lord was Jewish, the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph, most of the apostles. Because they're not meant to follow the evil. They're not meant to follow those who are leading them astray. And that's the same for all of us. If we have those in our lives that are leading us astray, telling us evil things, tempting us, suggesting that we do sinful works to get promoted or to get more money or to be included in the group, as it happens with teenagers who compromise so much just to be part of the clique, just to be accepted. The centurion and this leper, these two great people, would have none of that. All they did was have great faith. It's so simple. They submitted their will to God. That's what we have to do. That's what all the saints do. Saints of this week. And that's what I hope all of you will do for today. And rest of your lives. We also have to give you a lot of credit for coming out in weather like this. Be prudent, not take chances, but it didn't seem to be too bad out there. But I know some people did not come today to the Mass because of safety reasons, and that's probably wise. Why don't you meditate on the collect of the Mass? I will read it, and that'll be one of your main prayers for this Mass. It goes like this. Almighty and everlasting God, graciously look upon our infirmity, and for our protection, stretch forth the right hand of your majesty. Obviously, that's an allusion to what our Lord did for these two people of the gospel. And our Lord will also do it for you. Stretches forth his hand to lift you out of the quagmire, the swamp of sin. And all you have to do is take your hand and reach back. Don't let anything finally take you away from the Catholic faith, from what happens, the Mass in this chapel and everything else, the instructions. From receiving Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist. If there's anything that takes a person away from God, it's not receiving the Holy Eucharist often. And never let anything take you away from your daily spiritual reading and prayers. Now, some of you may say, I notice that Father Kuchera often mentions spiritual reading and prayers. In fact, almost every sermon. Because it is so important. We can't get to heaven if we don't pray. And it's very hard to pray unless we do our spiritual reading. But I hope this helps you for today and for this coming week to stay close to God. God bless you.